episode 37 of Welcome to Level 7, Marvel Unlimited and the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Welcome to Level 7, the podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome to Level 7, the unofficial podcast of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm here tonight with my This is Agent Daniel, excuse me. And I'm here tonight with my co-host to discuss part two of Trax.
What?
You didn't watch part the second half of Trax during the last week?
No.
What have you been doing, man?
Well, not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., actually.
That's very depressing. Very depressing.
I know. I understand that you're disappointed with me.
Well, I'll be honest. You've probably been watching Olympics.
Been watching some curling, yes.
Yeah, I haven't. I refuse to watch.
Why?
Because it's taken away my show.
But it's curling. When else do you get to see curling, ever?
I've decided to give up curling.
Well,
for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But it's curling.
Who is this voice in my ears?
This is Ben Avery, and I am here with you to talk about, well, a number of things. I've got a list right here.
Does that list begin inside an intelligence report?
That's actually all that the list is the intelligence report. So, yeah, I guess you could say that. And, yeah, I think we should just go ahead and do it because we've already – this discussion today, we've got a guest coming in to talk about our main topic. And
Or as we like to call it, a mission report.
Right. And then the other thing is we've got a big topic in our news section that we're going to be talking about. So I don't think we should waste any more time.
Play the sounder control.
S.H.I.E.L.D. Intelligence Report.
Agent Ben, I believe you have the list.
I do have a list. First on the list, we brought this up on Facebook a couple days ago and realized we're going to just take it to the people. We need a listener group noun.
So maybe you're not Agent Ben.
Well, I don't – personally – That's not my choice for what I would call myself. But we need
Captain Ben?
Yes, well, captains. Captain Ben. Actually, I do tell people to call me that sometimes when I'm working with kids. But that's more of a joke than anything else. But then, okay. Of course, the kids pick up on the joke and call me, you know, Captain Ben during the day and that kind of thing. But what I'm talking about is if we – that being Daniel or myself or any listener, was talking about the group of listeners and the community on Facebook and through the website, what would we call them? Because I called our listeners and Facebook followers level seveners and said something to the effect of, that's not very good. And then someone said, well, I like agents. And then, as far as the collective noun, and I realized, you know what? We need a collective noun for people who are enjoying level 7. But I didn't want to just make something up. I don't want to just put it out there and tell people, we're going to call you this.
You don't want to just randomly throw out the word Coulsoners?
Right. No, I'm not going to do that. You know, I could. But then what's the fun in that? You know?
Ben Daniels.
The Ben Daniels? I don't know about that. Again, I'm saying, what's the fun in that? And so here is what I am proposing. And Daniel and I talked about this.
Bussers. We're going to be bussers.
We could be bussers, yes. I have a feeling I know where it's going to end up. But I want to do this. I want to say on our Facebook page for like this episode's Facebook posting or on our website for this episode's website posting – for any listeners who have an idea of a good collective noun to describe the people involved with Welcome to Level 7. That would be people following us on Facebook. That would be Daniel, myself. That would be people who make comments on our website and people who send in feedback.
Twitter followers.
Yeah, and Twitter followers. And maybe even, not that we use it, but...
Let's not even mention that.
Well, I tried with that one, but...
I believe they actually have a name for that over there called Plussers.
That would make sense. That would make sense. So anyway, if you have a good idea for a collective group noun for us, we would love to hear it and just, you know, drop it in a comment on Facebook or a comment on our website.
And by the way, we're not shooting down anything.
If
agents is what eventually comes out at the end of this process, we will respect agents.
Totally okay with that. Okay.
And if it's a word that we haven't even mentioned, we're going to wind up respecting that too.
Because here's what will happen. We're taking the nominations and we'll put it on a poll on our website and let the listeners and Daniel and I, you know, the talkers and, you know, anyone who's involved with Welcome to Level 7, you can vote on what you think we should call us, ourselves as a collective noun. What are we? Are we agents? Are we 084s? I don't know. But again, I have a feeling I can see where this is going to go. I think we're going to end up calling ourselves Guardians.
Ralph, what?
What? Okay. So anyway, that's on our Facebook page or on our website. That's it. The website for this particular episode, if you are, you know, getting it on iTunes and you never go to our website or anything like that, it would just be welcometolevel7.com/Marvel Unlimited.
Pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. You know, it comes from the topic. That's what I try to do. And we never actually talk about it very much, the actual show notes for episodes. So I'm trying to do that more. But this episode is going to be welcometolevel7.com/Marvel Unlimited. And yeah, that's...
Spoilers.
It's in...
There's our main topic, kids.
Yeah, well, they know that because they listen to the first 2 seconds of this episode.
You know how I feel about spoilers, Ben.
So should we move to our next news item then?
I hate spoilers.
That's called a transition.
Can I tell you something? I hate spoilers too, Daniel.
How bad do you hate spoilers, Ben?
Not as much as you do. I just hate it when it's thrown in my face when I'm not looking for it and not wanting it. And it happened. I warned people on Facebook. Actually, it might have been the same. Might have been when I called people level seveners. But there are spoilers out there for Captain America Winter Soldier from some news items about the toys that are coming out and the track listing on the soundtrack. Now, this happened with episode 1 of Star Wars, where one of the track listings on the soundtrack told you ahead of time that it was just called So-and-So Dies. And I'm not going to say who it was in case of spoilers. But the same kind of thing is in the track listing for Captain America Winter Soldier. So I put that out there, said, people, look out for this. And then not 10 minutes ago. Maybe, no, not 15 minutes ago. Doesn't matter for you. You're listening to it tomorrow. So not 24 hours ago if you're listening to this right now. I should stop with time right now.
Yeah, you pretty much should stop that.
Not too long ago, as I was prepping for this episode, looking for a news item that unrelated to this spoiler, in my Google results, someone spoiled it in the article title. So I'm looking down a list of Google results. And there it is. Pow! Toy line suggests that blah, 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 blah.
Here's all I'm going to say. For the next 45 days or so, it's time to cut yourself off from the internet, except for things that begin and end with Welcome to Level 7. Otherwise, just cut yourself off.
Well, you know,
it'll be safer.
It's hard because you can't determine what you're going to see sometimes. And this is a situation where totally spoiled myself. So anyway, this is actually something that's a couple different websites have been complaining about and reporting about. And I agree with their complaining. That's why I put out the warning for everyone. So I don't know how easy it's going to be to avoid this spoiler. It may not be a spoiler. I'll just throw that out there. If it was just the toy, I'd say probably not a spoiler. Or possibly not a spoiler, although it is that track on the soundtrack, so I don't know. It's interesting.
You must have been really shocked when you saw that track that said Captain America dies.
No, I think it said Captain America gets trapped in ice.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're going there again. Next one will be in the future. Captain America 3 is the future. Wouldn't that be...
Liquid ship Captain America. Oh, that's the old Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember what I was going to say now. I was going to say something about this. Oh, Agent M, Marvel's press guy on Twitter. Someone asked him what he thought about comic companies going out and actually spoiling storylines for readers because they're trying to get, you know, press and headlines and stuff like that. And so the Amazing Spider-Man number one that's coming up is something that was spoiled in the headlines. Spoiled by news agencies. What?
A while ago, too.
Yeah, yeah. And he said basically that he doesn't care because it could potentially bring in more readers. And basically he was saying, I know that you like to experience the story fresh, but wouldn't you rather experience the story with more people because they're brought in because of the press? So
No, I'm good.
No, my answer to that is... You know, I get what they're trying to do. They've got the machine. They've got to do what they've got to do. But I don't
Not
like
good.
It.
And I mean, let's be honest. Amazing Spider-Man 700, we all knew what was going to happen.
It's true.
Now, I will admit, I bought two copies of it, one for myself and one for a friend because of that.
And it had to happen before the movie comes out.
But, well, with 700.
What are you talking about? 700?
700, where Peter Parker passed away.
Oh, is that the one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when that happened, I mean, I knew it was going to happen. Because of that, I did buy it. I'll be honest, when Superman died back in the 90s, I bought a copy of it.
Did you really?
Just because of that. To be honest, a few years later, I bought the issue where Wolverine lost his adamantium skeleton.
Yeah.
Because of the fact it was in the press. So I guess it does work marketing-wise that if you publish this stuff...
This is really Marvel and DC's only way of bringing in new readers.
Yeah.
Is to have something wild happen, something big, but then to tell people about it before it happens, because that's the only way that people are going to know to come in.
When Captain America died, they let everybody know.
So that's where I know I understand their stance there on spoiling the story. But I don't like it when if it's a story that I'm reading, I'm not going to be happy about that. But you know what?
You know, though, there's
nothing you can do
working,
about that.
It's where I'm planning on buying Amazing Spider-Man number one. Part of that is so that I could have the bookends of 701 because I'm not going to ever have the original number one.
Right, right.
But I mean, in many ways, it's also because it's the bookends of a certain arc.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the toy spoiler story. You have a story that you were interested in. Avengers is starting or is filming somewhere different, somewhere new.
Yeah, the Avengers are going to be filming in South Korea.
What are the other places they're filming?
South Africa.
Yeah.
So I'm also wondering if they might also film in South America and South Carolina and perhaps a stopover at South Dakota.
It's a possibility. It is a possibility. An unlikely possibility, but a possibility nonetheless.
Well, what this is significant is we know that they're in South Africa, which we're hinting at. That means that there's going to be scenes in Africa. And a lot of people are speculating what Marvel African nation that could be.
Mm-hmm.
Here we've got them going to another continent in Asia and doing some filming. So unlike the first movie where, let's be honest, we were mostly – a lot of our action was around New York with a few stopovers in Germany and India.
Yeah.
That were very, very brief. It sounds like this movie's going to be jumping around a little bit more.
It sounds like it's going to be more global. That's for sure. Which it should be. I mean, Avengers, that's big. That's, you know, the big team.
It's a great, yeah, it's the global movie.
Yeah. So the thing that I'm thinking of, though, that I'm reminded of is Iron Man 3, which was did some filming in China and was a Chinese co-production, actually. There was some Chinese money that was used in the production of the movie. And I believe there was even some scenes, although I haven't seen them yet. I haven't dug that deep on my Blu-ray. But some scenes that were filmed in China specifically to be played in the Chinese print of the movie. So, again, it sounds like the Korean film industry is happy to have Avengers come and use them and give them some jobs and get them involved and help out some of the economy there as far as the Chinese or the South Korean film industry.
Well, and in this news story, we do have another location confirmed that I don't know if we've talked about before, which is Italy.
No, we haven't.
So we actually, the Avengers Age of Ultron, we're looking at three separate continents. I'm assuming North America will also have scenes filmed in it, so at least four continents.
Yeah, the film headquarters is London.
Yeah.
Which we talked about because...
that's in the same continent as Italy.
I'm just saying that's their headquarters. That's their primary filming location. So, okay. So that is... All right. So I think we should move on to our mission report. What do you think?
No.
What?
No, no.
Oh, is there a problem?
See, behind the scenes, what people don't know is we did not record tonight on Tuesday.
It's Wednesday.
Because it's Wednesday. And the reason it's Wednesday is because after Daniel's bedtime, something happened. And we decided in our pre-show meeting yesterday that it was probably better for us to wait 24 hours and be able to discuss this instead of recording and then sounding like complete fools the time this got announced, other than the complete fools we normally sound like.
Right, right.
And of course, I am talking about...
U2 was on Jimmy Fallon.
We're talking about the ice dancing event yesterday.
Oh, I thought we were talking about U2 on Jimmy Fallon.
No. We're talking about ice dancing because Canada and America, we're on opposite sides now.
Okay, so here's the true story, okay? This worked out nicely for us because both of us were not at our best yesterday anyway. Yesterday, Daniel had a huge, huge headache. I'm still recovering from a cold that knocked me on my back starting Saturday night. And
I believe the phrase that I used yesterday is my eyes hurt so bad I think they're a bomb and they're going to go off like Mike Peterson.
Yes, that is the phrase. And the phrase I used was knocked on my back on Saturday night. So not as exciting because it's the same exact thing I already said. But anyway... I'm still recovering from that, but I am feeling much, much better. I actually got some productivity done today. I was very excited to get some writing done. But the other thing that happened along with that is we were going to do today anyway because Daniel wanted to go to bed instead of staying up to watch
a
movie trailer.
I'm very early in the morning.
So, Daniel, when you woke up this morning, did you get the link from me or from someone else?
I got it from you, and it's the first thing I did when I got up.
Yeah, because I sent it immediately. I actually, as soon as I found the link, I watched it and then dropped you a message on Facebook so you could find it very easily, very quickly in the morning.
So, shall we talk about what could be the greatest or most disappointing Marvel Cinematic Universe movie ever? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about this. I found an article, The Hollywood Reporter. They have a article headline, Why Guardians of the Galaxy is the Riskiest Marvel Film Since Iron Man. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about here. Daniel, I don't know where you want to start.
Well, okay, so let's start with the easy one.
Okay.
It looks funny.
Yes.
It's funny. It is relaxing. It's enjoyable. It's a fun trailer. And you get the sense that the movie is probably fun as long as they didn't put all the quote unquote best lines in the trailer.
Which is a possibility. Although, I don't know. I mean.
You can't deny it's funny.
Yeah. No, it's.
The trailer.
And it's got an edge to it that most Marvel movies don't have.
I want to come back to that.
Okay.
You can keep talking, but I want to come back to that. I want to put a pin in it.
Okay, because the humor that we're seeing, this is it feels like that's going to be a big focus of the movie, is that there is going to be a lot of one-liners and that there is going to be a lot of, well, just not necessarily goofiness, just funniness. And I hope that it's played straight. I hope that it's humor that comes natural, because it feels like that. It feels like this is character driven.
Well, you definitely feel like Chris Pratt when he's delivering the one-liners that we see in the movie, that he's buying it himself when he's saying it. I mean, he's delivering it.
Yeah. Well, and that first scene with him, the Indiana Jones scene where he's getting that artifact and they're like, freeze. Whoa, whoa. And he's really forceful. He's just forceful in his, I'm going to cooperate because I don't want you to hurt me, you know? And it comes off as funny because, you know, he's a very human hero, it seems like.
Yeah.
In the vein of maybe an edgier Indiana Jones, you know, who Indiana Jones,
or maybe he gets not hurt. A smart Indiana Jones,
possibly too. Indiana Jones gets hurt though. Indiana Jones was a different kind of hero for me when I first was watching him as a kid, because he's getting beat up. He really does hurt when he's punching someone. It hurts his hand, and it's not just, you know, okay, ha ha ha. Now we'll forget that happened. You know, he gets bruised, he has to win by his wits. And I get that kind of vibe from Chris Pratt. I really get kind of a not so smart, but still kind of lucky Harrison Ford as Han Solo, or Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones type of guy.
Yep.
And I think we're supposed to be thinking about Han Solo.
I think we're exactly. And hey, they're all in the Disney family, so it's not
that's
like
true.
They don't want us to think about it.
That's true.
I mean, let's be honest. This is the Star Wars of the MCU.
It totally is.
And if they're going to be able to go cosmic, this movie has to succeed. And we've been hearing the rumors that, you know, they're planning a sequel already, which is way, way, way jumping the gun.
And but I think that those rumors are not true.
If this is going to be an entry into Star Wars and it's going to be a risk, you also have to trade on the things that are familiar. And let's be honest, Disney's not going to sue themselves if we feel like it feels a little too Star Warsy.
No, no. Now, who is Star-Lord? That's Peter Quill. And Star-Lord is a character who was a human being who was given powers and ends up in space and goes on adventures in space. And
let's pause and have a quick show discussion here. Do you think that
pause recording?
No.
Okay.
Should we go ahead and talk about these characters and who they are now?
I think
should we do it like we did with Netflix, where we did more of a breakdown at a later date?
I think a brief bullet point for each character is important.
Okay. Because there's a lot you've left out there with Star-Lord.
Oh, there's a ton.
Jumping it.
This is who the guy is. He's a guy who was – he's a human being but who was brought into space. And in the comic books, he doesn't need a spaceship. He's just flying around with his guns. But he's definitely space opera guy.
Absolutely.
Okay, so
– And he's a rogue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's in a brief bullet point, that's Star-Lord. And – he's definitely our in character. He's the human, and he's the guy that we're going to be following. And he's, I think, the guy we're supposed to relate to the most and laugh with the most. So,
well, let's be honest. Everybody's green, a raccoon, or a plant.
True. There are a lot of green people. A lot of green people. There'll be some blue people, too, I think. So, okay. So humor. I definitely feel like this is going to be a funny movie. The humor is going to be a little more edgy, though. And
should I pull the pin out?
Okay.
Pin removed. I'm a little concerned
about
the humor level.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, Ben, I've taken my kids to every MCU movie. I've watched them with them, and I've never had a problem. I know my kids in my house. I don't have a problem with superhero action violence. I don't. But even on the show, we've kind of joked about even some of the lines in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've had some conversations that I would have honestly preferred not to have.
True.
And as I watch this trailer, and we get the joke about the hand gesture,
mm-hmm.
which is funny. It is very, very funny. And we get the who I'm assuming is a Nova Corps member. I'm kind of classifying them as a group of people that I cannot say without us losing our explicit, you know, having to put an explicit tag on. I'm just concerned that Disney, a family company who bought Marvel because it was a family company, and I have had some people say, really, is it a family company? When Marvel bought it, what they were trumpeting to their stockholders is this is a marriage made in heaven because it's family company to family company. Beginning to make some of these movies a little bit edgier, especially when we're talking about a tentpole movie that needs every demographic to show up to it. At the moment, I don't know how comfortable I am taking my youngest to go see this movie because I don't need him using that word. Where, to be honest, if they had just used the word like, what a bunch of jerks, it would have been a lot easier for me to digest.
Yeah, I can understand what you're saying and agree with much of what you're saying. As far as that word in particular being used or using another word, you know, context is everything. Although I don't know what else you could use there that would still have the impact. But as far as, you know, having to watch it before you watch it with your kids, I definitely think that's something. This is going to be another PG-13 movie. And, you know, we've had various levels of PG-13 from the Marvel movies. Avengers, because it's just a nonstop action violence. And, you know, then you have Iron Man. Well, there's nonstop action violence, but there's also there's some edge to Iron Man, and there's some more mature themes going on there with Iron Man, as far as especially him being a womanizer and that kind of thing. But with Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, I think that the level and the type of humor we're going to get is going to be the type of humor that you and I, Daniel, we're going to watch the movie and we're going to laugh at. But yeah, you're right. I see this as a Star Wars type of thing. But it's not a Star Wars type of thing where I'm going to take my 3 or 4 year old, you know.
Well, you made a comment about Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
So Iron Man 2, and again, I have to paraphrase. There's a line in which Tony Stark calls Senator Gary Shandling a butthat.
Okay.
I'm not using
again.
The
word we have the you know, we're part of the Noodle Mix Network,
and again,
and so we do have to be careful how we say things, and yeah. I don't use that language anyway, so.
But when he said that, again, I chuckled and then I looked over because I had one of my kids with me and they said, what is that? And again, this was a trailer. Iron Man 2, it wasn't like this was something that was featured in trailers mm-hmm. as being kind of a tone you're going to see. And it was really the one throwaway line. But here we're already making it clear that this is the sort of language that's A-okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, what it feels like to me is just the 1980s PG action movies, you know, were made for kids, but the first line in Goonies was the S word, you know.
And I don't,
you know, when I went and saw Goonies as a kid, my parents didn't go with me. It was just me and my buddy, and we're watching it, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And of course, I didn't watch that kind of, we never had cable, you know, good little Benji Avery. So anyway, you know, I knew I was in for something a little different. And so maybe that's what we're in for. I don't know.
I just,
it'll be interesting.
Here's my biggest fear. I don't want Transformers 2 and 3.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Because Transformers 2 and 3, they intentionally used some of that humor and they used it poorly.
Oh, did they?
They used it just to use it. And I've never let my kids watch Transformers 2 and 3. I've let them watch the first one, but not 2 and 3. Mostly, not even because of the story, but almost entirely because of the unneeded plot points that are just there for edge.
Right. Well, and they use scatological humor just to get the laugh instead of because it fit with the characters. I mean, and the characters were caricatures, honestly.
Yeah. Somebody should have told them that in order to make some of those things occur, like mom smoking marijuana on campus, that it only really works well if it makes sense in the story.
Right. And so, well, we'll see. And that's where I'm willing to forgive certain things within a story if it fits the theme and fits the story. And so, again, we're going to have to wait and see on that. I expect that I will be laughing a lot in this movie. That's what I expect. The question is, will I be laughing a lot and then being like, oh, I shouldn't have laughed at that? Or will it be, you know, it again, like you're saying, will it make sense in the context of the story or in the context of the characters? So, okay. That's the humor. What should we talk about next?
Action.
Lots. Just in the trailer. Some cool spaceships, man.
Yeah. Well, cool spaceships, cool guns, cool fights.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and cool guys.
Now, should I get to my one concern?
Okay.
This is a trailer, so I understand that it's just a segment. But right at the moment, other than like a brief glimpse of the Collector, brief glimpse of Nebula, this is really a prison movie is what we're seeing.
I think that we're seeing the prison stuff because that's introducing the characters well, though. I think we're looking at maybe Act 1 is a prison movie and Act 2 is a heist movie and Act 3 is a big battle. I think that's kind of what we're looking at.
I'm hoping so. I really am. It just seems like this is a bigger scope of a movie than just a prison movie. And really, all we get is prison stuff. It could be also because, let's be honest, there's a lot of CG going on here. It could be that's just what's done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But here's where we have to look at what this trailer has to do. And this is the danger. This trailer has to introduce people to this movie and make people say, that doesn't look stupid. Because you and I are fans of Guardians of the Galaxy, or at least fans of parts of Guardians of the Galaxy. I love the character of Star-Lord from the space opera early issues. I have two of the magazines with Star-Lord. From, you know, one was black and white from the 70s. I didn't buy it when it came out. I've bought it like in the last 2 or 3 years. But I love that character. You and I have talked about Rocket Raccoon. I'm sold on Rocket Raccoon, man. Rocket Raccoon, Howard the Duck, Groot, Man-Thing. I mean, these are all right in my wheelhouse.
And the thing is even Gamora and Drax, they're both deep characters with a lot of emotional baggage.
Right, right. I'm not as familiar with them, but I have read some comics with them in it now because I'm reading Guardians of the Galaxy. So here's the question I ask you, Daniel, is does this trailer do the job? This is what the trailer has to do. It has to introduce characters no one's ever heard of and sell people on a concept that from just describing it, Han Solo, a talking raccoon, a walking tree, and two guys who look like the Hulk and the She-Hulk, only not as big.
And let's get
on a spaceship.
Let's do the thumbnails on those two real quick. Drax the Destroyer, a former human who wanders the universe seeking vengeance on one who wronged him. In fact, it's mentioned in the trailer.
Yeah.
The one who killed his family.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gamora, the most dangerous woman in the universe, who is an assassin.
Yeah, she's an assassin. And then you have Rocket Raccoon. Who knows what the origin is on that guy? But,
We've debated it. Maybe we'll debate it in the future.
I think we will. But he's a machine gun-toting raccoon with some sort of enhancements as far as maybe there's some cybernetics going on. Who knows?
Or maybe he's a raccoon-like alien.
Right. But who knows? Even if he's an alien, I think there's some sort of cyborgness going on with him. And then you have Groot, who is an alien tree, a sentient tree. And I think I've said this before, but I actually, because of my swamp monster thing, bought the first appearance of Groot in one of those old school sci-fi Marvel comics that came out before or around the time Fantastic Four was starting. And I got it for like $3 because it's not in very good condition. But I only bought it because it's a walking tree. And I like that kind of thing. And so then to find out Groot's actually a big part of Guardians of the Galaxy, then to find out they're putting him in the movie, I was excited.
So before you get my answer on whether or not I thought this did its job, I want to go to Facebook.
Okay. That's right, because we put out the question on Facebook. Yep.
So Kobe said, I gave it a D. Sadly enough, it looks kind of terrible. And Ben agreed with him.
Okay, Kobe being Kobe from
The Green Screen Podcast.
The Green Screen Podcast. That's important for us to mention because The Green Screen Podcast, they're like our brothers. in superhero podcasting.
And when I visit,
they podcast
it's really good.
They podcast about Arrow.
And when I'm over there, we talk a lot of Marvel stuff, and it's really good.
Yeah. So Kobe. Yeah.
And Ben agrees with him that it worries me when this happens, when he agrees with Kobe, because they're good friends. But it looks like they're trying way too hard. So, I mean, those are two folks right there that I believe don't have a huge amount of information about the Guardians. And for them, that trailer didn't work.
No. No, it did not.
Now, Bruce, I like Bruce's comment. I can't decide if it will be the best or the worst of the MCU. I see potential for both. It needs to not take itself too seriously while not making itself into a joke. And I agree. This is either the best or the worst. And they have to find that balance between serious and comedy. And to be honest, I feel like they're even pushing that more and more. I mean, All Hail the King, the one shot, is walking this line.
That's true.
Especially with the edgy humor.
That's true.
Phillip says this looks like it could be fun or really stupid. Either way, turn your brain off while watching and don't question things too much. It's hard to imagine this movie is part of the same MCU with movies like Avengers and Iron Man. Still, I'll go see it and hopefully I'll be pleasantly surprised. Now, I'm okay with it being in the same universe as the Avengers and Iron Man because of the fact the Avengers, the major villains, are aliens.
Right. Yeah, I think that this fits nicely. I mean, then you have Thor and you have all the alien stuff going on. Even in the first Thor, there was some stuff going on. But yeah, I think this will fit in nicely. But I think it's a one-off, you know, side trip. You know, here's this other corner of the Marvel
Universe.
With maybe
some of them showing up in Avengers 3.
Possibly. Possibly.
Unless this is huge and they go cosmic with some stuff.
Well, we'll see.
Carl thought it looked hilarious. Now, Doug, again, I think much like Kobe and Ben, is someone who doesn't have a lot of experience. And he says, someone who knows nothing about these guys, I'm excited for this. If it lives up to the potential shown here, it could be one of my favorite movies ever. So there's one person that's been won over, and Brian, he gave it an A. This is right up my alley.
Yeah.
So I what I'm seeing when I look at the comments is I'm seeing a mixed bag of reactions to this.
I do see there's one more comment, and that is William on the website. And he says, I'll go see it with you, Ben, but I feel like I need to understand the plot a bit more. This trailer feels like an origin trailer with no plot hooks, and I think that is something we'll be talking about momentarily.
Yeah, and I think that's right. It is an origin trailer because you're listing off five names of characters that nobody knows anything about.
This is the introduction. This is the, hey, here's our friends. They're in this movie, and you're going to like them because they're not stupid. No. Or if they are stupid, it's because it's intentional.
And, you know, I laugh. I laugh sometimes at Marvel's a marketing machine because and I'll give you three examples. Guardians of the Galaxy, fan favorite characters, Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't think many fans know who they are. Did you know that the fans demanded a Jessica Jones installment?
No.
I think Jessica Jones is even less known. Yeah. And then even this week I got an email advertising the all-new Marvel Now version of Secret Avengers. And do you know what word was never used?
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Coulson or S.H.I.E.L.D.? Neither word. And that book is about nothing but S.H.I.E.L.D. And there's a TV series on TV every Tuesday night about S.H.I.E.L.D. But all they talked about was the secret arm of the Avengers, which this isn't the secret arm of the Avengers, the secret Avengers. It's a secret arm of S.H.I.E.L.D. But you know what I found today in an email that I got? I found out that DC has got a tie-in comic for Beware the Batman, which I believe was canceled.
Well, but
we can't
parts
even
of it
get
haven't,
a tie-in.
The DVD
stuff.
Just came out for Beware the Batman. I mean, that's the one thing. You know, we talk about the differences between Marvel and DC. DC has their ducks in a row when it comes to tying in things. And, you know, with Scooby-Doo comics and, you know, anything like that. He-Man comics or whatever. Marvel, on the other hand, I do not understand why there is not a S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book that just features, you know, Coulson can be that background character. He doesn't have to be front and center, But even if Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this TV show, totally dies on the vine and doesn't get renewed for a second season, there should be a 12-issue arc of S.H.I.E.L.D. that gets collected as a single volume. And I don't understand what they're doing.
Instead, what they've done is they've mixed him in as salt and pepper. So when you go to our website and you see these reviews of different comics, there's been more Coulson in Deadpool over the last 2 months than him in the S.H.I.E.L.D. book of Secret Avengers.
Yeah. Now, we're kind of getting off track here, though, a little bit.
But again, Marvel has had some marketing misses. So when people tell me that they don't like this trailer, I kind of get it.
Yeah. But again, this is telling people, you know, you're going to like this. But on the flip side of that, if you watch this trailer and it does not capture you, it's because this is not your thing, you know? Here's the votes. Here's the way the votes laid out. There's zero votes for grading Guardians of the Galaxy on our website. We only had 12 votes because we just put it up a little bit earlier. But zero for F, good. One vote for D, I think that was Kobe. One vote for C, six votes for B, and four votes for A.
You should probably refresh.
I should refresh?
Yeah.
Oh, there's another B that just showed up.
That's weird. That's so weird. But yeah, I mean, and so I think at the end, when you ask me what I thought of this trailer and what grade I would give it, Ben, I would give it a B+. Because I do think that it's doing what it's supposed to do in being a trailer, in trying to get you to notice it. And I think everybody who sees this trailer notices it. And as we see on our Facebook page, there's folks who know nothing about the Guardians of the Galaxy. And they're like, you know what? I could see that.
Yeah. I am seeing what we're seeing here with B being 54% of the vote. I would probably say that's probably what I'm seeing on Facebook. Is about half of the people are saying that looks really interesting, or it looks really funny, or it looks really good. I'm curious. I want to see this movie. I'd like to know what's going to happen here. But then there's also people who are just like, that's so stupid, you know? And now Kobe and Ben, I know them both, and I'm not surprised by their votes. Actually, I doubt that Ben voted here because there's only one.
I'm very surprised by Kobe's, to be honest.
Are you really? Because I think Kobe has been predicting that this movie is going to fail from day one.
No, it won't fail in his eyes because WWE wrestler Batista is in it.
I think that it goes past that for Kobe. I think that Kobe's...
No, it begins and ends there.
What?
It begins and ends there.
Well, I think that it actually goes a little past that, and Kobe says, in spite of him being in there.
Makeup may have confused him when he saw the trailer.
But anyway, I'm seeing that. And I'm also seeing, you know, there's this small portion of comic book fans who are fans of the characters who are saying this looks really, really good. So, yeah.
And to be honest, you know, a year ago I had no idea who they were. Now I want to see this movie because I've become familiar with their characters. And they look silly on the outside. But there is some major, major character behind each and every one of these characters. Again, coming back to Drax, he just looks like he's the big brute of the bunch. But there is so much backstory in Drax and why Drax is who he is, why he does what he does, why they even mentioned in the trailer vengeance. Why he's seeking vengeance. And it really is in many ways a righteous vengeance that Drax is seeking. And that's what drives Drax. And so I'll be honest, there's some times in the comic books where he loses that compass of vengeance. And then you're stuck with the question of what does someone who's built on vengeance as being their guiding principle in light, what do you do when there's no longer vengeance to get? Because you've already gotten it.
Yeah, yeah. This is where I'm looking at this movie, and I'm very, very optimistic. I see this trailer, and I know what they're trying to do with the trailer. They want to sell you on this will be exciting, it's going to make you laugh, and it's not stupid. And I have to keep driving that home. They have to sell this as it's not stupid. And so that's one of the things they're going up against, you know.
I think that's trailer number two. I'm hoping it's storyline number two.
Well, I think that they're doing a pretty good job of it here. Now, we, like William said, there's no indication of plot here. It's solely style and substance and characters. You know, here's – we're introducing the characters to you. You know, I talk about my my story quadrants where you have character, theme, plot, and style. But this trailer makes me it's all character. It's all style. I'm curious about the plot. Theme is something that won't come out probably in the trailers. You rarely see theme coming out in trailers unless it's really, really important to the story or to the movie. But I think this could possibly be hitting the mark, like in the middle of all of this, and actually giving us some meaty themes to deal with, along with some funny and interesting and emotional characters and an interesting plot that gives us incredible or fun action scenes. So I'm getting optimistic, and I give the trailer an A because the trailer does what it's supposed to do to me. And that is to say, you want to see this movie more than you thought you did. Unfortunately, I feel like this trailer is making me a little too excited to the point where it's going to be easy to disappoint me. So
I can see that. I do still think that the Captain America Winter Soldier trailer, the first one, was more effective. But it also has an advantage over the fact that we've seen Steve Rogers in two movies now.
That's true.
So and when we see – so they can build into this movie, to be honest, into that trailer, character moments, because we know who Nick Fury is and we know who Steve Rogers is. We don't have to be introduced to them. So I'll be honest, I'm more excited about – Captain America Winter Soldier still because not of the second or third trailer, but because of that first trailer.
And that's the Captain America Winter Soldier trailers that you're talking about. They are examples of trailers that actually give us some theme. Yep. You know, what are the ideas that are going to be addressed in the movie?
But to be fair, they can.
They have time. Yeah.
They have time. They have goodwill built up with us as an audience.
So it's okay, though, that you're more excited about Steve Rogers, that you're more excited about seeing Winter Soldier. That's coming up. You know, we're coming pretty close here to that movie. And Guardians of the Galaxy isn't until, you know, well, it's more than half a year away.
If I had to sit back and say, which movie am I a hot mess for? It's definitely for Captain America right at the moment.
Well, that's good.
A year and a half away, man. 7 months.
No, I said half a year.
Okay, okay.
Half a year. Not a year and a half. That's
what kind of Canadian math are you doing?
Well, it's true. I did learn math in Canada. So also learned and forgot French. So okay. Well, where should we go from here then? Is there anything more to talk about with this trailer? I think, again, this movie looks so energetic and exciting and funny. I think that the only thing they can do now is they need to come out with another trailer that's going to bring down my expectations, because I do not want to go in with my expectations too high. So that is the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer. Beyond that, next episode, we are going to be talking about a lot of feedback that's come in. And so you can still send us some feedback about Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. You can send us some feedback about tracks.
You can send us feedback about Marvel Unlimited.
And you can send us – which is we're about to talk about now. And you can send us some feedback about Guardians of the Galaxy. Ooh, there is one more news item we need to address.
Mm-hmm.
And that is we've been teasing this out.
Hey, let's tease it some more.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it after we talk with our special guests then. All right, so you're ready to move on to that part then?
Let's jump into the mission report.
Mission report.
We've been joined by, from the Geek This podcast, David Clements, not to be confused with David Hunt.
Right.
Right.
We're still trying to figure out how to differentiate that. I think I've been going by Dave, but
I don't think that really helps me at all.
You know what I think? No, I think you need to convince David Hunt to change his name to something like Billy or Greg, Lewis. I'm good with Lewis.
I just wish you guys had been together when you started podcasting so you could be called just the two Davids.
Yeah, that would have worked something like so that. Much better.
But no, I think that honestly it has to be the last name, because Dave and David, that does not help me at all.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
True.
It just doesn't. If I were ever talking to both of you, I'd have to say, all right, Clements. Okay, Hunt. That's the
I'd
only,
be okay with that.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever called me by my last name, mostly because most people can't. They don't work hard enough to pronounce it. So
I'd be willing to. But since it's just you here today, just you from the Geek This podcast, we're okay, because there's only one David. One David, right. One Daniel, one Ben. We're good to go. So we have invited you on here because you expressed an interest in something that, you know, we're podcasters together. We're part of that clique, that group. But also, Daniel got a code to get a discount on the Marvel Unlimited digital comic subscription type thingy. And that code allowed you to get two subscriptions for the price of one. And so I got one subscription, and David Clements received the other. And so that is why David is here today. We're going to talk about the Marvel Unlimited digital comic subscription service thingy.
Thingy.
Yes.
That's a very technical term.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
that is,
I'm a professional.
Science.
I'm a professional. So I'm going to use terms like that. I'm a professional comic book guy. So
all right.
Get used to it, man.
I'm just dumbfounded by the,
yeah. The technical term as a professional,
exactly.
I would say gobsmacked. Not
I'm waiting later when you say doohickey and thingamabobber.
I mean, let's not get crazy, Daniel. Come on. So when David Clements suggested talking about this, Daniel, you said, yeah, I have things to say.
Oh, I have things to say about Marvel Unlimited. So, and some of the things that I have to say are not the greatest things to say about it. So maybe we should start with you two. I've actually had this service a little bit longer than the two of you.
Well, let's first explain what it is then. Because
okay.
It's pretty simple. Similar to a Netflix or a Hulu Plus, only for comic books. You pay a yearly fee and you get access to a deep catalog of Marvel comics that it's not everything that they've ever published, but what's available spans the time of their publishing. I mean, it goes back – there's Timely books on there, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so it goes way back before Marvel Comics was even called Marvel Comics. And then there's some fairly new stuff on there as well, like within the last year or so.
Usually about – with the new stuff, because they're putting everything into digital nowadays, it usually takes about 6 months. So about the time a trade might be getting released is the moment when you're going to begin to see the first issue from that trade usually show up here on Unlimited. And here's a good example. Infinity Part 1 of 6 is now available on Unlimited as of this week, where I believe the trade for that is actually coming out in the next few days.
And it's what, 6 months old, 7 months old, something like that?
Yeah, it's something. Yeah. It's a 6-part series. So yeah, it's 6 months old.
Yeah.
So that's about the time it turns around. So
yeah. And so this was attractive to me. When you sent me the code, I said something to David Clements and thought, hey, this sounds good. I think it's $70 a year for their regular subscription. Is that about right?
You would make me ask.
Okay. Well, we're going to say it's about that. And then it goes up to like 100 or 110 for...
Whoa, that's crazy talk. So it's $69 for the regular.
Right. And then what does it go up to for the premium?
The premium, the annual plus, is $99.
Okay, 100, 110. That's close, isn't it?
Well, it's like 10 bucks off.
It's $1 off or $11
jeez,
off.
Jeez. It's also, you can also get it for $9.99 a month.
Yeah. Okay, and so... those are the basic idea there. Between the regular and the premium, there's not a lot of difference, except for you get some physical products with the premium. Action figure, collectible box, actual comic book comes with that on paper. And then you can also download and store for reading offline more actual issues.
So with the regular subscription, the $69.99, you can put six comics onto your device that you're running the app off of. And basically what Marvel is trying to sell to you there is you'd be able to download the equivalent of a trade or a story arc, where with the Plus, you can put a full 12 on.
But you have instant access to the entire library if you are online on Wi-Fi or whatever.
The entire library that's available.
Right. The entire available library. I shouldn't say the entire Marvel Comics library.
And it's not everything. I've gone back and looked at some of the old X-Men that I was reading when I was a kid, and there's some that are there, and there's some that are missing from the 80s. You and I have talked about Howard the Duck. They have the entire run of the Gerber Howard the Duck, except for one issue, which is like issue number three. which
that's unfortunate.
But again, even that older stuff, you do see it coming into the catalog. And a good example is when we – about the time I got the service myself, I started to read the 2008 Guardians of the Galaxy, because that was the first incarnation of Star-Lord and Rocket and Groot together. And so I started to pick up through that, and I got to about issue 16, and then it stopped. And then it picked up again at like issue 23. And about 5-6 months into me having the service, all of a sudden they had the complete 2008 run. Obviously, they're getting people ready for the movie. So they are adding things all the time.
And there's also a number of number one issues from different series and stuff like that. Okay, so that's the overview of what it is. So now I want to know, Daniel and David, what is it that made you want to talk about this? And especially you, David, because you kind of brought it up. What was it that made you say, hey, you know what? This would be an interesting thing to talk about.
I guess for me, the reason that I wanted to talk to you guys about it is because I had some issues with it. And I wanted to know if I was the only person that had problems with it. I don't know how you guys want to do that, but... I kind of wanted to make sure I wasn't being like overly picky about things.
All right. Okay. Because I know, Daniel, you have some problems. I'm going to throw this out there right now. I have no problems with this.
Oh, you might by the end of this.
I don't.
If I ask you live here on tape to look up something. Let's start with the good.
Yeah, let's start with the good, because
the good $69 for, you know, well under $10 a month, mm-hmm. you have access to a ton of Marvel material. I mean, it's tens of thousands of issues, and you can call it up at any time as long as you're on Wi-Fi, and you can carry some around with you if it's working correctly. And if you're somebody who, especially with the more recent stuff, you want to keep up with the recent stuff, but you don't want to pay for single issues, or you're not necessarily interested in picking up a trade. Again, $10 a month is less than these Marvel hardcover trades are.
Yeah. So what you're doing, though, I mean, it really does. Okay. If you break it down to $10 a month, it's not really 10, though, but it's more like what?
Seven.
Six or seven.
Yeah.
And, okay. So $6 a month. 6 times 12 is 72. So yeah, that's it. $6 a month. That's two issues of comics every month. Actually, now they're running at $3.99. Some issues. So
you don't have to store them.
You don't have to store them. Of course, once you cancel subscription, you've lost them. But okay, two issues of comics. If you buy two issues of comics every month, now just as far as strict numbers go, you've got a good deal here. I have already, from what I've read, it's paid for itself. These are things I was considering buying. Now I didn't need to. And it's going back to the Annihilation series, which is where they started really getting back into the space stuff, which is leading up to the Guardians of the Galaxy that you were reading, Daniel. And as much as I've already read, it's paid for itself. Now I got it half off, so it was $35, but definitely by the end of the year, it will have paid for itself with how much stuff I've read and the other thing is I don't have to dig through the back issue bins or go on eBay or anything like that to find these things. And that's really nice because I wanted to read Annihilation 2 years ago when my comic shop was having a sale. They had a number of issues, but none of them were number ones from the miniseries that they were doing. And so I'm like, I want to read the story. So I just held off on it. Well, I just got to do it. And it's really exciting and interesting, and I'm liking what I'm reading. So, Dave, what about you? What's the pros for you right now?
Well, I think you guys have kind of listed everything. Just the huge, amount of books, that you can just dig through. I think the thing for me that I've really enjoyed is, well, I guess it's basically the exact same thing you were saying. You know, you wanted to go back and read something, but you couldn't find a number one. I think the first thing I started reading once I got the subscription was Mark Waid's Daredevil run. And, by the time I was interested in that, as far as print goes, I mean, they were already like 12 issues in. So it was going to be hard for me to find it. And yeah, I mean, I think that was the main thing is, I don't want to just pick up in the middle of a story, which I probably would if I was going into my comic book shop that I love, but I'm not in there often enough to pick up a number one and go in there every single month and get the newest book. I think just being able to read a complete series and not have to, worry about making sure that I'm in there every month. I think that was the main thing.
The crazy thing is you just made a case for the all new Marvel Now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But.
And continual relaunches. So.
But what happens when you miss that first issue of Marvel Now?
Well.
You have to wait for the next one, the next relaunch, the next new.
6 months from now, we'll have the really new all Marvel Now.
Yeah, so. They're going to stop going with Marvel Now, and it's going to be Marvel 2 seconds ago. That's how new it is.
Marvel Future.
It's so new. It's old.
So should we talk about the quirks that have been frustrations for me?
If there are no more positives, I mean, I do want to put out there the positive here is really positive.
Yeah, it's huge. It really is. I mean, like you were saying, I mean, probably in the first couple weeks, I really got my use out of it. Within the first 3 weeks, I'd probably read 50 books. And I don't know if that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Through them because I was taking my iPad to work with me, and I was just, in a lunch break, I can read, two books. So I was just blowing through them.
All right. Yeah. And I'll read them before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. And I've got my iPad, though. That's the other thing. Okay. But that sounds like we might be heading towards a negative. So, Daniel, go ahead. Start. Negatives. Quirkies.
So I want to make sure you both have your app open for my second item.
Okay.
So I want you to be prepared because you're going to have to do some searching. My first quirk is sometimes...
No one said there'd be a test.
Sometimes, and maybe this is the issue David's having, sometimes the issues that I have downloaded disappear.
Yes, I had that recently. I think I downloaded like 4 issues, or well, however many issues I could of Deadpool, because that's what I was reading. And I was like, well, I know I'm going to be away from Wi-Fi for a little bit. So I downloaded them before I left, and I actually got to wherever we were going, and they were gone. Like, they were all, like, faded out.
Yeah,
and they're... download them again. I'm like, what the heck?
Okay, I can tell you exactly what happened, though. That's a technical problem you were having, and that was your device was rejecting the Deadpool.
No,
it was
highly...
Your device
that.
Was saying to itself, why is this on me right now?
I believe from
get
conversations
it off
that
me.
David and I have had, our devices are Deadpool friendly.
Yes.
Okay. Well, your devices are faulty. But anyway, continue.
Here's a good example of exactly what David's talking about.
Okay.
So last summer when I went on vacation, The Wi-Fi in my hotel was $10 a day.
What?
And yeah, $10 a day.
Okay.
I was like, where am I? Where am I? Am I in Albania? Come on. And so what I would have to do is, because my on vacation, my kids take naps because we get up early and we stay up late. So it's very important we take a nap in the middle of the day. My kids can sleep a long time because we're busy, busy, busy. So obviously I'm using the app because it's backlit, mm-hmm. and I don't need a light to read it. And so what I would do is I have the Plus, so I would download 12 issues so that I would be fully loaded for nap. And what I'd have to do is I'd have to go to McDonald's. And it would take me 20 to 30 minutes on McDonald's Wi-Fi to add my new issues, get back to the hotel room, all snuggled in, wake up from my hour nap, and those issues would be gone. And I'm like, I just wasted 20 minutes waiting for these things to get on here, and they weren't Deadpool. And they're gone. I've wasted my time, and now I have nothing to read because I'm not attached to Wi-Fi.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I can't say that I have had that problem because I haven't used that. I've never read outside of Wi-Fi anyway, outside of my home Wi-Fi. So I can't speak to that. But that's a problem if okay. that's happening. Yes,
now,
I would agree.
I want you both to – and I've had it tell me that I'm logged out. I need to log in and have everything there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not logged in. And it'll turn those issues into the preview issues, which are only six issues. Six pages, I mean. Again, I've used this for a long time, too. So now here's what I need you to both search for. Uncanny X-Men number 484.
Okay. Browse. Okay, so this is a nice little thing, though. Okay, I'm going into Browse, and I have series, characters, creators, comic events, and publication date. So I stay on series. You said Uncanny X-Men?
Uncanny X-Men.
Okay, where are you? Right along the side there. Yep. There's you. I'm going down, scrolling through. There's a lot
of
ultimates.
The 1963. It'll be the 1963.
Uncanny X-Men, 1963 to 2011, right there. Okay, yep. I tapped it. And
then you're going to get a screen with a bunch of covers, and he's going to have to sort
through
those.
It allows me to sort. I always sort by oldest first. So what issue are we looking for?
484. It's from March 7th, 2007.
All right. Oh, there's my first X-Men comic is right there. Uncanny X-Men number 3 was my first X-Men comic. It was a reprint call. It was I can't remember what the series was that they were doing. They were doing reprints though.
Was that Classic X-Men?
Classic X-Men. X-Men no, Classic. No. X-Men Classic was all starting with the all new X-Men. This is the original 5 X-Men. It was Amazing Adventures, I think is what the series was called. And they put half of a story. And then the backup would be like a part of an origin story. So there's still some new material in there.
By the way, listeners, he's actually been searching the whole time. What
issue are we looking for?
484.
484. I was not searching the whole time because
David, open it up. Tell me what you get.
X-Men number 484.
Right now.
Oh, there it is. 484.
What? No internet connection.
Read now.
I'm just glad it's not just me, David.
Hey, that's interesting.
Are you kidding me? That is weird.
That is a really interesting glitch there.
I would love for you two to submit an IT ticket asking them to get it fixed. I've submitted at least two on it. And you know what's really frustrating about it is it's in the middle of an arc that I'd really like to finish someday. But that I have found some, maybe 2 to 3 issues like that, where they are not properly loaded. And so when you go to read it, you get the no internet connection. I mean, I can see I have an internet connection. I've tried it on multiple internet connections. I come back to this issue every 2 to 3 weeks just because I'd really like to pick this arc back up.
Hmm.
But part of my – so I'm very, very lucky. I have a very well-stocked library. The library that I use does not have this trade, so I can't even just say, oh, I'm going to just check it out.
What about interlibrary loan? Have you tried that yet or not?
Yes, they don't really. I'm not from the city limits, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean, but okay.
I'm a visitor in their eyes, so they let me check out from the library, but they don't necessarily do extras for me, like use ebooks and interlibrary loan. They want me to go home, which my home library doesn't accept my card anymore because I haven't used it there in over 5 years. So,
Okay. That's, well, that's understandable.
So I would love it if you guys could submit an IT ticket on that, because I've put in, again, two IT tickets on it. It still is obviously not fixed.
Okay. I had a similar problem show up, and that was not this weird glitch thing, but that was just one issue from one of the miniseries from Annihilation. I think it was Ronin number 3. It's just not in there. Like, they have 1, 2, and 4. And so...
Well, is it Black Widow Strikes that's the MCU tie-in?
Might be.
They don't have all of the Black Widow Strikes. And it's kind of a crazy sort of way that they have it. No, I'm searching here.
Well, we don't need to worry about so many specifics, yeah. But that is one problem, obviously, with your glitch. And I'm assuming there'd be other issues. One thing I've noticed is comics with covers that don't match the actual book. Like, it'll be a whole bunch of X-Men issues, and all of a sudden here's a Captain America cover from 1962 or whatever. And, you know, in the middle of all these modern X-Men comics, and it's just kind of a weird what-in-the-world kind of thing. But yeah, so there are some problems like that.
I've got one other. Sometimes it can be quirky in searching. So I've really enjoyed the Immortal Iron Fist on here. But in order for you to get the whole set of runs, you have to search for both Immortal Iron Fist and Immortal Iron Fist Annual, which are two different listings where they've got the annuals broken out.
David, what about you? What kind of... You said you wanted to know if you're being nitpicky or not, or if you were the only one. What kind of issues have you come across that you're wondering about?
Mine is actually just in the way that the app is developed itself. I used to, before I got this, I would actually get like the digital versions of books. And I would use a different app. I don't even remember what it was, like Comic Flow or something like that.
Was it Comixology?
No, it wasn't Comixology.
Because they do have that kind of thing, but I think it's become a standard type of feature for any comics app right now.
Yeah. Well, what I was doing, like, I would download books, or like I would get books from friends that they had downloaded, and I would, you know, I could load them on my iPad and read them. And it was really easy to close out of the book, or it would go right into the next issue. For me, I guess, I mean, this is kind of a wish list kind of thing, but I have a hard time. Like, I'll finish a book, and instead of it just, you know, if you swipe again, like if you were going to close the book, it doesn't do that. It just brings up that little dialogue box that you have to close out. And then you have to, I don't know, I have a problem with it. I have to sit here and tap like the top of my screen on my iPad to get the little bar to drop down and then click done. Do you guys have that issue, or does it bother you?
I do. I have a hard time getting out of my books and getting the right menu or the right interface to show up so I can get out of the book, or so I can change the page, or even change the viewing, from panel to panel. I can't remember what they call it in their books, but you can do one page at a time, two pages at a time, or panel to panel. But I can't switch sometimes because I have a hard time getting it from my taps. I always tap in the wrong place, it seems, or something. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
And tied to that, I will throw this in and interrupt. I apologize. One of the things that I dislike is the regular Marvel Comics app with the ones that you download and pay for individually. If you walk away from your book and you leave the app, when you come back, you're in that place where you left. Where with this, if you walk away from a book and leave it, you're back to page one when you return, which may not be a huge problem with a 22-page issue, but they've got the first Marvel graphic novel, The Death of Captain Marvel, in here. And I've been really, really tempted to read it in the app. But the problem is if I have to get up and I'm in the middle of a big graphic novel, am I going to remember where I was? Because it's not like I can bookmark it.
No.
That was my next point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I apologize, sir.
Oh, no, no, that's fine.
It's not okay. He's our guest, Daniel. He's our guest. This podcast is ruined.
Okay.
This is why we can't have nice things.
It's okay. Oh, I'm a nice thing. That is good to hear. I feel wanted now.
I didn't say we wanted you. I just said you're a nice thing. So,
thanks. Yeah. I feel, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm done. I'm walking out.
See, look what you've done, Daniel.
Okay. You're the one who did this one.
What were we talking about? let's put aside the CW style drama and let's try and get back to the important stuff. Comic books on digital apps. Okay. So we were talking about
bookmarks.
Yes.
That bothers me too, because I'll read like two pages and I'll be like, oh, I have a kid I have to take care of. And not that I forget. That sounded really bad. I don't forget, but it's just like, oh, I got to stop reading and go do something.
Yeah.
And, you know, for whatever reason, after a certain amount of minutes, the app decides to just take you back to the home screen. And then when you go to your recently viewed, you open that book, read now, and you're starting at page one. And I'm like, yeah, why? That just, yeah.
And you know Marvel knows how to do that because they have another app that does that.
Well, that app, though, the Marvel Comics app, is actually done by Comixology.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not the same technology.
Which, if they were smart, they would have just spent their money and said, hey, Comixology, develop our Marvel Unlimited app so it has the same functionality as Comixology or Marvel.
Speaking
of Marvel Comics or whatever other apps Comixology develops.
Yeah, and see what Marvel's doing. I mean, they've got a good thing going here where Comixology is making the money individually with the issues that are available there.
Right.
They're already creating these digital files for Comixology, and they can just turn around and use those digital files here for this. The problem is it's not the same interface. And it's not the same coding. And I'm guessing, Daniel, that the reason you can't do that is because it would be a coding nightmare to redo the app. I expect that there might be something like that if they ever did a major overhaul for an update. But I wouldn't hold my breath about that feature. So
that's really sad.
Do you want me to talk about the extras?
For being a premium member?
Yeah,
I do.
Go ahead, rub it in.
There's one thing. Well, wait a minute. I wanted this, but then I was able to get the regular for the half price. There's one thing that Daniel has that I really, really wanted.
Let's see. I'm the Ultron?
No.
The variant?
No.
The box?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's a mini. It's like a half of a small long box.
It's half of a short box.
That's I call a short long box.
Okay.
I know,
yeah,
it's not really.
So it's a decorated,
yeah,
short box.
Yeah, but you know, I would use that for current comics that I have on dock to read, and instead I have a magazine holder that I use right now for that.
Well, I can tell you what's exactly in it right at the moment. What's
Ultron?
Exactly in it is the Ultron.
Yeah, I thought
because,
so.
Because I don't collect action figures, so the Ultron really wasn't a big deal to me. But it's an Ultron that's not bagged, it's not carded, it's not. It was just in a piece of unwrapped cardboard that holds it in as an insert inside the box. And the problem is that insert kind of makes it a hassle to put books in it. So the only book that's in there at the moment is the Age of Ultron variant cover that was exclusive to the Plus subscribers.
And
I could see putting some of my more – the way I've looked at it is maybe I'll put some of my more valuable comics in there. But it's not like I got, you know, Strange Tales of Suspense number 39 hanging around down there. So.
Right. And for me, the value added of the premium did not make it worth going to premium for me. Even if I was doing premium at half price, if I was going halvesies with someone else on premium.
Well, and I wanted it for two things. I paid for it for two things. A was the additional six downloads, because I knew that I was going to be going on a vacation where I wasn't going to have Wi-Fi, and it was going to be honestly cheaper for me to have an additional 6 downloads than pay that Wi-Fi fee every day. So that's part that's of how true. I justified it. And the other thing, reason I signed up for it was because of the show. One of the advertisements was you were going to be getting press releases. But A, it took a long time to get me signed up for those. And B, all the ones that I've received are really been about comics. And I thought I'd be getting the movie ones also.
Mm.
But it's really only been, you know, like 12 times a week I'll get like the Punisher's going to be in the all new Marvel Now with Ghost Rider in the sky. So instead of enjoying those, I've just been deleting a lot of them.
I'm sorry.
So I know I sound really negative. So let's make sure we wrap up on a final opinion on this. I just want to make sure everybody understands what they're getting into. It's not a problem-free app.
Right. Yes. And okay, so for me, for the price, $35, well worth it. Well worth it. If I am going to renew my subscription at full price, this $69, for another year, I would consider it. And I think that even at $69, for me, my reading habits, it'd be worth it. And worth it enough that I can look past glitches and things like that we're talking about. On the other hand, I am not dealing with downloads the same way that you are, and I'm not counting on downloads onto my device. So that might be it's a different, slightly different story for me. So David, what about you?
I've been thinking about it a lot. I think when my year's up, I think I want to renew because I like having this selection of books. Because sometimes I'm a little lazy and I don't want to have to go to the comic book shop, even though, you know, the owner's a really great guy. But yeah, I mean, I can look past the little nitpicky things. Yeah, I like this app.
Daniel, value?
I think so. Again, even though I've had issues with some of the app pieces, I also renewed before my renewal period was up. So I've already extended myself just when I got the plus. So I've enjoyed it. I've gotten a lot of value out of it. As you say, if you read 2 a month, you're making your money. And it's very easy to read 4 or 5 a month, even if you're like me and got a lot of trade access.
Would you renew at the premium level?
I don't know if I'd do the plus again next year.
Okay. So there you have it. That is Marvel's Unlimited. They call it just Marvel Unlimited, I should say. So Marvel's Marvel Unlimited. And, yeah, $69 a year for annual, $99 a year for plus, $9.99 a month. We do not get any kind of kickback if you guys join this. So take what we are saying as just straight up. You know, now, I think you might trust us. So even if we were getting a kickback, you'd trust that what we're saying, we're not just saying to get you to click and buy. But this is our opinion about this, and I do know people have asked about this and asked if this is worth it, especially for people who are wanting to get back into comics or fans of the show who want to read comics. So that's my last question for you, Daniel, is for fans of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is this going to be a good way to catch up on those characters who will be showing up in movies and to catch up on things like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Nick Fury and that kind of thing?
You know, when we did our cross-in show, our tie-in show for comics, most of the ones that I read on Unlimited. And so things like Nick Fury's Big Day or Big Week are in here. It looks like the Black Widow now has all 3 of its issues.
Okay.
So there's a lot of that tie-in stuff, MCU stuff specifically in here. But for me, you know, we got Guardians of the Galaxy coming up. Nobody wants to go back and get 25 issues of the 2008 Guardians of the Galaxy and have to try to track those down. And so for me, you know,
because they're not collected, by the way.
Yeah.
So comic shops can't order that right now.
So just getting ready for that movie, it was a huge amount of fun for me to be able to really kind of watch these guys in their first incarnation as the Guardians, so that I feel like when we talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy, I actually know who they are.
David, I'm going to ask you, what are you reading right now? And what's your current series? And are you really, again, we already know that it's worth it for you, but what are you enjoying right now?
I've kind of got my fingers in a few different pots. I've been reading a lot of Daredevil. I think the reason I started there was just because of the whole Netflix deal. I wasn't very familiar with him, and Mark Waid's run is a really, really good place to start if you want to learn more about Daredevil. I've read some other series, too, with him. I started reading Savage Wolverine, and I think next I'm going to hit up Avengers versus X-Men. A lot of good stuff in there.
You need to go browse and look up Immortal Iron Fist now and throw that in. That's some good stuff, man.
I was going to, and I'm glad you said something, because now I'm going to do that as soon as I'm done here.
That's a fantastic series that gives you a lot of new mythos to Iron Fist while also reintroducing you to the character. So it's fantastic.
You know what's not in here, and this is going to be my final word on this? Man Thing. He's not in. I mean, they have the entire Howard the Duck stuff. Man Thing they don't have. So I'm so glad I have my hardcover Marvel Omnibus Man Thing.
Hey, David, he's the guy. The guy who actually bought that.
I'm the one. Yeah. I'm the one.
Yeah. Oh, no, you know, most of those orders were filled by libraries. But no.
Libraries and what? A comic
one
shop?
One guy in Indiana.
So I did. I bought it from my local comic shop, though.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
Where can I find Great Lakes Avengers?
They're in West Coast Avengers. That was their first appearance. And so.
There's a great run in Deadpool.
Their first appearance is West Coast Avengers number 46.
Okay. Because this app is a hot mess, and I'm having a hard time finding it.
Well, that's because they only have one Great Lakes Avengers offering, which is that GLA number one from 2005.
They're adding issues to that series over time. I might even read it, although that's the series that turned me off. So, I think that's enough right there. David, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you?
You can find me and my buddy David Hunt at geekthispodcast.com.
And Daniel, did he give you the money? Because he's been on here twice now. And I'm not seeing anything.
If he did, I'm not sharing it with you.
But I just want to know that, because what did he do to get on here twice?
Dude. Deadpool number 27 costs $9.99. Daniel needs his dirty, dirty monies.
I don't even want to know. All right. So thank you very much, David, for joining us. And we will, we're going to move on to our news section, but we do appreciate it. And do you have any last words, final words for our listeners?
Nope. Just go listen to my podcast. That's it.
Thank you very much. All right. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate you listening. We appreciate you sending us feedback. Like I said, next week we might have a topic. I had an idea I'll talk about with you, Daniel, but the primary focus will be feedback next week.
That sounds great. It sounds like not a ton of work for Daniel.
I don't think there'll be any research to do, no.
Yes.
So, yeah. So
because I've been researching for months.
Right. Well, let's tease. I mean, the tease has been out there. We do have a special episode coming out soon that is going to be – should I go ahead and – do we want to say exactly what it is? It's about Howard the Duck. We've been teasing that for a while.
Yeah, but it's everything anyone would ever need to know. Everything. It's the definitive Howard the Duck discussion.
It will not be in your regular feed.
It will not be in your regular feed.
This is something we are experimenting with. I don't know how much we want to reveal right now.
I just think we need to tease. Not in the regular feed. And anybody who's seen Howard the Duck is probably going to want this. Anybody who's never seen Howard the Duck is going to want this because inside is a knowledge bomb.
Okay, so this is the big tease. This is a big episode. It's about Howard the Duck. It is huge. And it's an experiment. And it's something that we may try and do again. But for right now, I think that the big reveal will be next episode. What do you think, Daniel?
I think so.
And I hope people like it. I hope that if people don't like it, they'll forgive us. Because it's Howard the Duck. But yeah, for those of you who are, you're subscribed to our feed, it's not going to come to you through your feed. So we're not going to interrupt your feed with Howard the Duck. It's a special experimental thing. And I think we've teased it enough. What do you think, Daniel?
I think we've killed it. It's a dead duck.
Okay.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I've got to go start a rant about Deadpool, which I never do.
Because of that cover?
Yeah. So I got to go rant about that for a bit. So
man.
I'm kind of done right at the moment. Do you have anything else to say?
Yeah, like I said about this Guardians of the Galaxy trailer, I watched it a couple times, and it's stirring some emotions, Daniel. It's stirring some emotions within me. Like we said, with Dr. Horrible, when you got that, the emotions are just stirring up and there's nothing else you can do. And you know what happens then, Daniel? You've got to express those emotions in a particular way.
Not through lyrics.
I'm hooked on a feeling. I'm high on believing that you're, not you, Daniel, and listeners, but I'll, my wife, in love with me.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, 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 ooga chaka.
How long are you going to make me do that?
It's good.
Okay.
Welcome to Level 7 is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast, get productive in your personal and professional life, theorize over TV shows like Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, Under the Dome, and of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.